Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Love Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader, and I am a singer, songwriter, coach, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have Kristen Helmstetter back as my guest. Tune in for a 30-minute conversation about how her coffee self-talk books can help you live a more creative and magical life. Welcome, Kristen.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you back on. I enjoyed having you on all three times last year.
It's fun.
Yeah. I mean, oh my gosh, you and I have so much fun, and fun is so important to living a happy life. And one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about lately is that our world needs more happiness. And that's one of the things that your books are able to do, is to help people feel happier. So, you know, what a great gift.
Thank you. You know, I think that if you and I were ever like in a cabin in the woods, we could talk nonstop. We could go away for a week and just talk and talk and talk.
Oh, that's a great idea. Let's do that sometime. I know exactly
yeah,
where we
could
do it too. But anyway, we'll talk about that some other time, because this is for everybody. But yeah, I mean, happiness, it's such a great topic, because if you think about it, so many people need to be happy, and so many people think that they have to accomplish all these goals before they can be happy, or they have to look a certain way or accomplish something or be in a certain job or be in a relationship before they can be happy. And happiness all starts with how you talk to yourself, what you say to yourself. So your coffee self-talk books are a perfect way for people to add more happiness into their life. Have you found that that's true?
Absolutely. Something I've said, you've probably heard it a few times, is that I'm mostly happy most of the time. I mean, I would say
mm-hmm.
I'm always happy, but that's not realistic, right? But there are these moments where if something stressful happens, I bounce back very quickly, and I've trained myself to do it. It sounds weird to think you could train yourself to train your way into happiness, but with practice in how you respond to circumstances or issues, and it all stems from self-love and your self-esteem, and your self-talk is what helps get you there. So by showing up every day and doing some affirmations about my life, about my goals, about the way I want to live, about happiness, just saying that simple affirmation, I am happy, it starts
mm-hmm.
to groove in your brain, and it's like laying tracks in there. And then when something does happen, because you start to feel better more often, and then when something happened, it kind of jars you, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I was cruising along.
Mm-hmm.
Things felt good.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get back to
mm-hmm.
that. And then
mm-hmm.
you get back to it. But I think one of the things people don't realize is that destination, that happiness in that moment when you accomplish a goal, is really fleeting. You totally
mm-hmm.
feel a celebratory moment when it happens. You know, if you're looking for the book deal or you want to score a date with someone, you know, something romantic, whatever. But the buildup, it's the happiness on the way to the destination that is so juicy. And one of the ways to be happy while you're going for your goals, when you think you need to have something in order to have that happiness, a way to be happy is to just look at your circumstances, if they're not perfect, and say, I'm happy anyway. I'm happy in spite of these circumstances. Because I'll tell you, a couple years ago when I was in Italy, you know, we had massive amounts of debt, and I had goals to get out of debt. And we had carried the debt for a very, very, very long time, and it had just weighed on me and weighed on me. But as I was doing my self-talk and I was transitioning and building my self-love and my confidence and my self-esteem, I had no idea how we would get out of debt. But I can tell you, I can remember clearly in my head, Margot, when I used to take my walks in Italy, buried
mm-hmm.
under debt, right? Thinking
mm-hmm.
I want to get out of debt, and then that's where my
mm-hmm.
happiness is, I felt such huge love and happiness in those moments, even though I had all that debt. And I just, through my self-talk and through saying that I love me, I love life, I'm happy, mm-hmm. and starting to believe it, that's what happened. I talked myself into being happy amidst my circumstances. And that's where it's just so pure and so authentic, because you're not looking at outer circumstances to give you that happiness. And when you do attain those goals, woohoo, amazing, celebratory, it's fun, right? I think when you attain your goals, it's fun. But the process to getting there is, you know, you can find such deep happiness.
Well, you know, I remember there used to be a poster that I see a lot that said something like success is a journey, not a destination or something. But actually, happiness is a journey, not a destination as well. And I remember Abraham Hicks saying that you can't create a happy life for you forever from here, but you can create a happy moment from here and then another moment and another moment and another moment. And the thing is, a happy life is made up of a string of happy moments.
And it's doable. Almost like they're a string of goals, right? Because if there's something that you want and you think that attaining that thing or manifesting that thing is going to bring you the happiness, what actually is happening is you're creating a goal. You're like, oh, I want this. It will bring me mm-hmm. happiness. But the moment we have a goal, our brains start to secrete dopamine, which is a feel-good mm-hmm. neurochemical. So goals feel good. And that's one of the reasons you can be happy while you're going after your goals before you attain it. Your brain mm-hmm. rewards you with it.
Right, right. Yeah, I found that to be really true. It just, but, you know, one of the things I've been thinking a lot about what I wanted to talk to you about, since I haven't talked to you about any of this since, at least not on the show, since November when I had you on last. And the thing is that it makes you think consciously about what you're saying in your head and to yourself and actually to other people as well, because of the fact that you're conscious of the fact that what you're saying matters. I mean, there's so much that we say to ourselves that's not even conscious, you know, that it's just this ticker tape running in there. Susan Jeffers, in her book Field of Fear and Do It Anyway, called it the chatterbox, your chatterbox or your lower self or whatever. But it, you know, most of us or most people don't think about what they say to themselves and how they say it to themselves, you know, whether they say it in a kind way, in a loving way, or if they tell themselves, oh, you're stupid or you can never do it or whatever. And so, you know, it's a matter of flipping your I can't into an I can and your unhappy into happy and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have a lot of negative chatter and a lot of negative self-talk because they think it's normal. Because it's common, but it's not normal. You know, they think it's normal, so they do it, or they don't get down on themselves when they do it, but what they don't realize is the brain is always listening. And once mm-hmm. you start, like, keeping a tally of your negative judgments about the world, about other people, about yourself, it's all self-talk because it all reflects back to you. If you don't like your coworker's haircut, you know, if you don't like a politician, some people don't realize that's still a form of self-talk and it reflects back onto you. And so mm-hmm. when you start to kind of keep score in the beginning and you start to realize how often you do say negative things, it becomes real eye-opening. I hear from so many people that say, I had no idea I was saying so much negative self-talk. They almost tune it out, but yet the brain is still listening. And as you mm-hmm. change it and you start to make that number of positive affirmations higher than the negative and you start mm-hmm. to get used to that, you become really self-aware. And when you become self-aware, you notice your feelings. You notice when things are not feeling good, right? Like mm-hmm. you're like, ooh, mm-hmm. I don't like the way I feel about such and such, or I don't like the mm-hmm. way I feel about this response, this reaction. And you become self-aware mm-hmm. so that you can snap your fingers and change it.
Right, right. Yeah, because until you're aware of what you're doing, you're not going to be able to change it, and you're not even going to realize that it matters if you change it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, right now I'm having a sip of water out of my I Am Living My Most Magical Life mug.
You're awesome.
My coffee self-talk mug that I love to have my coffee in, but I also have a second one that I can have water in when I'm doing my show. And my husband wanted to know why he has a black mug, and I, because I asked him, what did he want to ask you today? And I said, he says, I want to know why I have a black mug, and I said, well, because that's the guy one. And, you know, I didn't even know that he didn't like that it was black before, you know, I was going, oh, okay, you know. So do you want,
that's
you
so
get
funny.
One of the
I look at it
ones?
As like the my AM and my PM mug. My morning
yeah.
mug is usually my white one, and then, you know, throughout the day I might transition to the black one. But I would say that more men probably do get the darker one. They just
yeah, well,
like,
I got the black
know.
One for him, and I got one for my brother Dwayne, and I got one for our son Xander. So all three of them have the legendary mug because it says I'm living
yeah.
in this legendary life instead of magical
yeah.
life. And that was why
yeah.
I got those for them. And, you know, I actually have to say that I like that it's a black mug because it's one, you know, the ones that I have that have black insides like that, they don't get stained from tea or coffee or anything like that.
That's true. Great point.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
yeah.
an example of how language, it just, it impacts people differently. And my coffee self-talk is filled with so much glitter, shimmer, you know, magic-type language. It's what sparks happiness inside me. But
mm-hmm.
I realize that, you know, there's other people out there, and maybe they want some different words. And so, I, you know, that's kind of how the Coffee Self-Talk for Dudes was made and mugs that kind of went along that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, you know, you also have, since the last time you were on, we had talked about Pillow Self-Talk was starting to come out, I think. The Daily Reader 2 was just about to come out in November. So those came out, I believe, just before the holidays. And I have both of them. Actually, I have both readers, Daily Reader 1 and 2, on my desk here. I've got Pillow Self-Talk, got the Spiral Notebook, which I love, the Guided Journal for the regular one, and the Coffee Self-Talk, the actual book, the hardcover book of it here. And you have one coming out, or just came out, for teen girls as well, that's for a guided journal, right?
Right. So I wrote the Coffee Self-Talk book as a teen girl book, and it, you know, it's got all a lot of the same content, but also topics of, you know, just body image and self-esteem and high school things and, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
talking about studying and grades and taking classes and that kind of stuff. And we also then, as you mentioned, put out, back with the original Coffee Self-Talk, we put out a guided journal for, I would just say for grown-ups, right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the parents saw the guided journal for grown-ups and they said, I would love one for teen girls. And I was like,
right.
Yes! Yes, this is great, because you know, it's when you have kind of a guided journal, and so that's what just came out this week, is the Coffee Self-Talk for Teen Girls Guided Journal, and it's just these inspirational prompts that are, you know, you've just got these pages that have little pictures and plenty of white space that just makes it feel open, and, you know, you can put your stickers and use glitter pens if you want, and or at least that's what I do.
Yeah.
But it's a fill-in-the-blank type format for most of it, and sometimes you just, it helps to have a little bit of, you know, energy behind your affirmations and, you know, your writing prompts and stuff. It just kind of helps get the gears turning. So that was just published this week. It's on Amazon, and it will be available in bookstores within, like, the next 1 to 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's cool. And you had said that you have something else coming up that you haven't talked about yet. Are you ready to talk about that? Do you want to?
I am. It is officially available today, Margo, and I did not announce it anywhere because I told you I was going to announce it here. But yes, it is called the Coffee Self-Talk Starter Pages. And it is basically like a 21-day format, and every day has a little bit of inspiring content, a few affirmations that I provide, a page
uh-huh.
about gratitude, And then some lines for you to fill in for your self-talk that are I am affirmations, like I am fill in the blank, and then you can start writing your self-talk on the following page. So every day has about 6 pages to it, but it only takes you like 5 or 10 minutes to go through the day. And the reason I made it is because, sort of like the teen girl journal, sometimes when you sit down to write your self-talk and you have this blank page, it can be intimidating to people. And to help people get the habit of doing this daily ritual easier, I created the starter pages, which is kind of like fill in the blank. And you do it for 21 days, and as you probably know, they say that typically 21 days, if you do something that many days straight, it'll help you create a habit, because on day number 22, if you don't do the thing you've been doing for the previous 21 days, your brain says, wait a minute, aren't we supposed to be doing something? Something's missing, like something doesn't feel right. So it's a great way to build a habit is doing something daily. So with these starter pages, you open it up, and it just helps you slide right into the ritual.
I love it. I love it. I can't wait to get it.
Thank you. I think of you when I create these books, and I'm thinking, I think Marco's going to like this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's so funny because, you know, the one book that you wrote that I've told you before, that I'm not as crazy about the cover is the wine self-talk. But, you know, that's just me because I don't drink wine. I quit drinking alcohol entirely. I decided to try a month without it in April of 2016. And I felt so much clearer and so much better without it that I decided I would try another month. And I didn't say, oh, I'm never going to ever have alcohol again or wine again or anything. But I thought, you know, I'll do another month. And then I thought, ooh, you know, I can eat more food when I don't have wine or alcohol or cocktails. And, ooh, I can save money, lots of money, when we go out to eat if we only have to buy cocktails for Dudley and not for me, you know. So I started drinking, like, club soda with a splash of orange juice or that was my favorite for quite a while. And yeah, I just, or sometimes I'll splurge and have a real live Coke. In other words, the one with the sugar in it too, you know, even though that is more calories. But, you know, it's amazing how that caffeine and the sugar in it get me high. I have a super funny story we love to tell from when I was pregnant. When we were at this really cool restaurant in Tiburon called Sam's, having dinner with our friend Bob Eaton. And I was looking very pregnant at the time. I couldn't have alcohol. I couldn't have caffeine. I wasn't supposed to have diet drinks. So they're having cocktails. And I thought, you know, I'm going to splurge and have a real Coke. So I'm drinking the Coke. And I just said, in probably my loudest voice, knowing me, oh, my gosh, I'm getting so high on this Coke. And everybody stops and looks around at me, and it's like, you know, it's still when it still makes us just die laughing when we think about that.
Yeah, whoops.
Yeah. Oh, God, especially being in Marin County, you know, I mean, at the time, probably there probably were people that were high on Coke, you know, the other kind.
Yeah, I get it. Oh, that's a great story.
Anyway, that being my story that kind of helps you understand, I mean, not that story, but the one about the wine.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I love that the book is about creativity. And creativity is like one of my top values. It's even in two of my lists of words that I think of all the time as being my top values. Because we're all creative. And it makes me sad when I see so many people not believing that they're creative and not understanding, that we're all creative and that everything we do helps us create our life. And it also helps us create our happiness and how we feel. So, you know, you want to talk a little bit about that book, though? Because, I mean, there is so much in there that can really help people use more of their creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Everybody should assume they are creative. And as I mentioned in the book, I did not think I was for so long because I thought creativity was limited. I thought it was poetry and writing books, you know, and interior decorating, you know, that kind of stuff, of which I never thought I had any kind of talent or knack for. So creativity to me was just limited to a certain kind of person and a small part of life. And what I didn't realize was that creativity is so much more. It's all encompassing. It's creating and doing music and stuff, which again can make a life so colorful, but it's solving problems, like using creativity to solve a problem, to fix something mm-hmm. that's broken, whether that's a relationship or the toaster. Creativity is in every part of your life, and if you think of yourself as a creative, you will have a more colorful life, you will have a more successful life because you will solve problems better, you will come mm-hmm. up with solutions for challenges at work. Everybody goes to work for the most, right, whether you're at home raising a kid
right.
or you're out in the world, like everybody has challenges, everybody comes across a problem, everybody has something that breaks. And creativity is the key to handling all that. And then creativity is the kind of thing where when you start to say you're creative, which, again, comes back to self-talk, just having that added into your self-talk, I am creative, even when you mm-hmm. think you're not, you just keep saying it. And then you start to walk around and you start to notice things that you never noticed before, the texture on the ceiling. You know, you start to see different colors. You start to live in a more colorful world just from thinking you're creative. It's the craziest thing, and I had no idea that living a creative life would do this for me. But it's like it gives you this glittery edge to things, whether that's solving problems or just making things more fun or mm-hmm. doing the typical creative thing and picking up an instrument or taking, you know, a chance at doing some poetry or an open mic night. So creativity just makes life so fulfilling. And if there was anything I wanted people to know, it's that creativity is in everything you do. It's, mm-hmm. it's, you just don't realize it until someone says, that involves creativity. It's like, what do you want to make for dinner? How do you want to exercise? You want to lose weight? You can come up with creative solutions to do it. It's creativity mm-hmm. is putting two things together. It's having your head go, oh, here's one thing and here's another thing, and what happens if I put them together? You know, how, mm-hmm. what if I fix it by doing this? What if I call, you know, so-and-so and ask him this question? It's just, it's this ongoing energy that helps you solve problems and have more fun. And it's just, I get so excited talking about creativity because I lived this life where I didn't think it was a thing. I didn't think it was a thing for me. And here I am every day waking up with this kind of mindset of creativity. And so in wine self-talk, you do not need wine to do the ritual. I always like to stack a food or beverage or habit with my mm-hmm. self-talk, something that I might do regularly because it helps ensure that I show up for it, which is why I drink my coffee with my self-talk. So with wine self-talk, I don't drink very much. I might do it once a week. I might have a couple sips of wine because it's not about having a lot of alcohol or anything. It's just, it's about kind of relaxing. And it was just kind of a playful connection between wine and self-talk. And there are other times I do it and I don't do alcohol because I just want water or, you know, kombucha or something. Even my coffee sometimes I do for my, mm-hmm. my wine self-talk. So the book has, you know, the part one, which talks about creativity and how amazing it can make your life. And then there's part mm-hmm. two, which has all these different scripts, which are topics of affirmations that all have to do with creativity, and it's a script that helps you come up with ideas. It's a script that helps you think of creative solutions. It's all these different scripts that when you read them and you start to think about them and you start to believe them, they help you become more creative. And so that's kind of what the book is about, and that's, you know, why we put wine with it for kind of a fun thing, and it's just an amazing way to live.
Well, you know, it just occurred to me, too, that back when our son went to college, I didn't used to drink that much alcohol, and I was drinking wine after work to relax. Well, the only wine I liked was like white or pink Zinfandel, or whatever it's called. The pink one that tastes like soda pop.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is I was the only one that was drinking it. And so, you know, I'd have one and then I'd go, that tasted pretty good. Maybe I'll have another one. And then, you know, at that point, I wasn't feeling that good. And I broke so many wine glasses back in those days. You know, almost every wine glass we had was broken. And my husband was going, Margo, you got to stop breaking the wine glasses. But, you know, now it's like I have either some sparkling water, or I have I love chai tea with a little bit of vanilla coffee mate, the sugar free kind, and then some of the vanilla oat milk. Like I leave about an inch or so on the top, so I can put that in and have that at the end of the day, and then start thinking about creativity and reading your book or another book of someone else's. And one of the things you had talked about in the about creativity in there is how doing different things and then putting them together. And I have been reading the series by this author that's going to be on in 2 weeks that I never would have read. Part of it was because you said that in there, but his is called Ice and it's a trilogy. And I met him at an author event here in Marin and he's really cool. I loved hearing what he had to say about the book. The book, though, the only bad thing about it is it's hard to put down. I already read the first one. I'm halfway through the second one of the series. Dudley's waiting for me to get to the third one so he can finish it because he's on the third one. Anyway, it's called The Ice Trilogy by Kevin Tinto, and he's going to be on in 2 weeks and talk about that. But my point is, though, is that that book really has lots of great ideas for expanding your creativity. And I just looked at the time, and I noticed that we only have 3 minutes left. So before we ran out of time, I wanted to make sure that you get a chance to talk briefly about your awesome podcast that you started, I guess at the beginning of the year it was. And I listened to it on Spotify, and so does my brother Dwayne. We both love it. And we love your energy.
You.
I love that you keep it relatively short, usually from 7 minutes to 10 minutes or so. I don't know. Sometimes maybe they're longer and it just doesn't seem like it. But, yeah, how can people listen to that? I highly recommend it. I love hearing your voice.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a lot of fun doing it. It's available on most podcast platforms, and so you just have to go on and search for Coffee Self-Talk with my name, Kristen Helmstetter, and it should come up. It's on Apple and, like you said, Spotify, and it's now available on Audible, I noticed, and a few others. So I just, they're all 5 to 10 minute episodes, and I publish a new one or put on a new one every Sunday, and it's just something that just, it's something I want to chat about, something I want to share that's going on in my own life and how I'm using self-talk to help me with it. It's just inspiration, and it's just a way for me to kind of, chat with people it's not an interview format, but, it's just me sitting down with the microphone, imagining, someone is sitting across from me listening, and we're, talking about something magical.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And I'm so glad that you're doing it. And I have to say, every Sunday I go, ooh, I wonder what Kristen's going to talk about today on the podcast.
Thank you.
And I find myself
That's
going
great.
Back and listening to them as well. We have a little over a minute, so it has to be really quick. But what do you want to leave our listeners with?
I would like to leave them with loving themselves. Get out there and love yourself. Step in front of the mirror, say you love yourself, love your body, self-love, all that good stuff. As you are right now is something I always like to qualify. We talked about goals earlier, and sometimes you think you have to wait to look a certain way. No. You start to love yourself today as you are right now, which will then help you magically transform into what you want to be.
Oh, that is so true and so important. And my brother Dwayne was saying that that was one of the affirmations you had that was so important to him. I love myself just like I am now.
Yeah.
Oh, Kristen, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I am so thankful that you are living your music in a variety of ways. And living your music means living your heart's desires, basically, is what it is. And you are doing that. And you are helping contribute happiness to so many people. And I appreciate that so very, very much.
Thank you.
Well, anyway, it's time to go. But I want everyone out there to please listen to your heart, love yourself, and live your music. Bye for now, Kristen. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.